The issue I wanted to talk about, which is very difficult to talk about, I don't want to seem hypocritical because I would do it, you will do it. I just been reading some things lately and watching in the news and listening to people talk and what the conversation from Christian to Christian on the internet, that kind of thing, what's going on. And here we go. And is it possible to get a victory over this thing? Sure it is. Of course it is. Is it practical? Not at all. I mean, it just really isn't. And is it permissible? No. There will be people out there that will not allow you to do this. They will be very upset if you try to get a handle on this thing. And this is watching videos or movies. There we go. Everybody's got them. Everybody does it. And is a video wrong? No, video isn't wrong. I've got scattered references here. But no, there's nothing wrong. Nothing in itself is wrong. Paul even says in Romans 14:14. Let's look that up here. Romans 14:14. Because see, for us, everything is lawful. Nothing is unlawful. All things are lawful. So, what's the big deal? Well, for the longest time, and then you get the people that preach that movies is bad in itself, going to a movie and watch a movie anywhere, and I don't believe that to be true. I'll show you why it's such a big thing, what's going on here. Romans 14:14 says that, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Okay, so the simple fact of the TV or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. There it is. We have the liberty to watch anything, to do anything. Now, ask yourself the question about liberty, those five strings. Will it cause somebody else to stumble? Does it have a power over you? It sure does. People are addicted to it. Does it edify? Well, it edifies, but it certainly doesn't edify biblical things, Christian things, or the truth as such. You'll learn from a video. And is it expedient? Is it the right thing? Well, that depends on the time, at the moment. And is it occasion for the flesh? I'll show you that it is. And if it's any of those causes somebody, I think I did this number one. If it is, then you got to be really careful, those videos. Can we get a victory over this thing? Sure we can. It's possible. Is it practical? No, not at all. Not today. Everybody does it. Everybody's got them. They're showing them in churches. Pastors are taking their youth groups to them now. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And is it permissible? Not at all. Nobody wants. They'll invite you over and they'll make you sit down over. I mean, what kind of relationship is that? Sure, it'd be some time we've done it in the past. We'll get a bowl of popcorn, a couple of candy bars, and some M&Ms or whatever, and just eat and watch a movie. Has it gotten out of hand? Just remember that if you do listen to this thing and you try to get the videos out of your life and in the form of properness, then somebody's going to get mad at you. They're going to mock you about it. They're going to laugh at you because they're going to think that you're wanting to be perfect and all that. But the frustrating thing is, like in Nehemiah, they're going to conspire to try to stop you from it. They're going to get you to watch a movie somehow. They're going to try to get into your life and the rubbish in your life. They're going to get into finances. I mean, how do you get into money? Well, it does. Compromise, slander you over this whole stuff, and they're going to try to get you to sit down and watch one anyway. They want to prove that you're not what you say you are. All sorts of things could come out of this video sermon here. But what I wanted to show you, before I really get into it here, is images. Because that's what a movie is. It's moving images. And has it gotten out of hand? You just do a word study, the word image or images or whatever, and you see a lot of interesting things, especially in the Old Testament. Well, okay, but it's Old Testament, so we don't have to worry about it because it's in the Old Testament. Well, yes and no. We still read Genesis to Revelation. We still look back to the Old Testament to be admonished and to learn some things. We understand who God is and how God is and why He did what He did and what God still believes to this day, but He just provided the penalty for it and made the payment for it. He still doesn't like what those things are He doesn't like. And so, and images. What is an image? Well, an image is, it's a picture, but it's also a statue. It's also a something that's carved. It's something that's worshipped. It's an icon. An image is an icon on computer talk today. And in churches and things, they have icons and images in their churches. All these things. We see a lot of this talks about it in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, where God says, thou shalt not. Okay, but I remember, in Colossians, all that stuff was nailed to the cross, and it's not an issue today. Well, that's true, but what do we do when we're watching something or we're seen watching something that That is not true, scripturally. Or it's just going to present something incorrectly. Well, who cares about a few things that are wrong? Yes, but how serious has it gotten to be? I mean, what's going on in the movie world today that has even made me realize this? And as I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago, or like about a week ago, then I got a couple articles in the paper all of a sudden showed up that just reminded me that this is a serious thing, and it just all kind of timed together. So here we are. We're going to talk about this thing. Am I telling people that we should not watch TV and not watch videos and things? I'm not saying that. Because, like he says in Romans 14 again, which I got to read again here. I just can't remember this thing. There is nothing unclean of itself. Let's look here. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Now, let's go to Romans chapter. Let me show you what... Let's get to the conclusion first. Then we'll go back and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 1. Okay, Romans chapter 1. And with that hand, kind of hold that, Romans chapter 1, and then go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1:26 says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And I like the fact that he uses the word our, meaning there's plural of us. That's the Trinity there. But anyway, that's okay. And let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Okay, that was the design. Then we fell as man, and we made an Adam's image, that type of thing. But if we go to Romans chapter 1, we see that we have totally reversed everything. This image thing. We were made in God's image, okay? And fallen now with Adam. But we go to Romans chapter 1, verse 23, and we see that we've done just the opposite now. We, in the fallen image that we are of God, in verse 23, now we are today changing the glory of the uncorruptible of God into an image made like to corruptible man. So now, over this time, we have made God's image our image. At the beginning of creation, He made us His image. Now today, we have changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So, obviously, that does not please God. And look at all the stuff. It's changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature, that's us, more than the Creator. God gave them up into vile affections and for even their women. All that thing goes on there. So do you see what we've done? We talk about image. We have, over time, made God into our image. So the way people perceive God is they can't imagine that God would be the way He is or do the things He does or whatever, because they try to make God like us. And we certainly wouldn't do that. Like, we wouldn't send everybody to hell. That's not the right kind of love. Well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. He doesn't do that. But they picture Him as a regular person here, and no, that's not the way it is at all. So that's the conclusion, that we have taken God and made His image like us. So when we destroy the image of God or who God really is, then there's somebody in the wings just waiting to come out and be the God to us, and that's the Antichrist, that's the devil. He wants us to worship him. Isaiah and Ezekiel talk about that. So he manages to get the image of God destroyed through us, and then he steps up to the plate and he comes back and people will worship him. He's not going to be like us. He's going to be like us. So there's the goal here, this image thing. Now, the simple fact, if you want another part of the conclusion, is the fact that if you look at the movies today, they're very demonic. They're very wicked. But that's not even the point necessarily. Let's go back now, and we see that, let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Let's look at this image thing in the Bible. Image. Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, Now, that's interesting. Then it goes down to bow down myself to them nor serve them. But they just weren't supposed to make them. I mean, they just weren't supposed to make them. And if you go through the studies here, you will see that he talks about it in Exodus 23, talks about it in Deuteronomy. There was a covenant made that they weren't going to do that, and they agreed to do that. They agreed not to make those kind of images and create them. There's places he says not to make a standing image. That's a statue. Neither set up any image of stone. That's a carved thing. Graven is something that's firmly fixed and sculpted. Definitions there. It's a shape. It's got things carved into it. Carvings. That's a graven image. Deuteronomy talks about the fact that they're an abomination to the Lord. First Kings just says that those images provoke God to anger. He just mentioned one time, cursed be them that do, so that's a terrible thing. Throughout the Old Testament, he tells them to overthrow these images. He tells them to quite break down those images. He tells them to destroy the names of their gods that these images are made after. One place talks about that those images were beat to powder. Images were cut down so they can be carved things. They were to be burned. They were to be hewed down. And we know that images in the Bible referring to, again, are statues, pictures, icons, any kind of a thing that presents an image. I'm sure they didn't have Kodak and those kind of images in those days, but whatever they did to make that image, they presented that thing. So, look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. He even says not to desire the gold and the silver of the image that they're destroying. So if they go in there and they destroy these things, not to even want the gold and the silver that those things were made out of. God just didn't want anything to do with those things. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. And he says, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire, that thou shalt not destroy, desire the silver, gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God, neither shalt thou bring an abomination to thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. Thou shalt surely or utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. These are those graven images. Carved images, stone images, beaten in powder. It goes through this whole thing in the Old Testament. But it's interesting that he says they will become a snare unto them. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. He also warns about these images and whatever different kinds they are. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 16. He says, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image. The similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is beneath the earth. And thus I'll lift up mine eyes unto heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even the hosts of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them. And it just goes on here about these images. They corrupt you. They would snare you. They'll trap you. And I mentioned again a few minutes ago that from Genesis chapter 1, we were made in God's image, even though we've fallen now in Genesis 5 there, image of Adam. We see that in Romans chapter 23, the problem today is we have made God into our image. So this image thing is really quite important. Why would God not want us to have those? Well, we worship those images. Those images become a snare to us. And if there's anything that could tell a Catholic church that what they do is wrong, it would be even just going into the Old Testament about these standing images and to tear them down, and why do they have statues and all this kind of thing. What's such a big thing with the thing? We see that in Habakkuk, he calls them dumb idols. And it isn't just because they're stupid idols. It doesn't mean that. It means they're dumb. There's nothing there. There's nothing coming out of them. They're profitable for nothing in Isaiah 44. He says in Isaiah 45, they cannot save. It's a falsehood. It confounds people. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. But the Lord is the true God, the living God, and an everlasting King. Jeremiah 10, verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood. There is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. So these images were false. They were not right. God hated them. He wanted them taken. He wanted them destroyed. He didn't want you even to keep the material they were made out of. So much he hated those images. He's a jealous God. Nobody's going to look at a picture of something and worship that. An image of something, a carving, a stone carving, a sculpture. He doesn't want that. They will corrupt you. They will put you into a snare. They'll trap you. Please help people. He talks in 2 Kings about the images of Baal. He mentions that. Jeremiah 51, verse 17. I've got something down for that. Jeremiah 51, verse 17. And it says here, every man is brutish by his knowledge, every founder is confounded by the graven image, for most image is falsehood. There it is again. There is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors, and the time of their visitation they shall perish. So there it is said there twice. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 23, you see the word images mixed in with familiar spirits and wizards and abominations. We go to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3. And we see that Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of him. And they were to worship that image. Not Nebuchadnezzar as a person, but his image. And, you know, praise the Lord, as they would say in Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 18. These three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So here's this image in Daniel chapter 3, which, by the way, they were. I think most of you know that if you know me, in Daniel chapter 3, that their worship of that image came about because of music. They would hear all kinds of music. Verse 5, verse 15, different verses in there talk about that. So here's this false image that the people are to worship instead of God. And when they hear all kinds of music, the sound of the cornet, sackbut, and all kinds of music, etc., they're going to bow down and worship that image. Music starts that whole thing out. And here are three guys that wouldn't do it. So there's a pretty good description in the Old Testament of what God thought about images. Be they carved or stone, or whatever, it's an image. It's a picture of something. It's something that you can look at, you can worship to. You can look at, you can identify with, or whatever. And God hated them. There's a bunch of verses. They'll put you in a snare. They'll confound people. They'll corrupt you. Okay, well, that's Old Testament. We need to worry about that today. Don't we need to worry about that today? Well, I'm going to show you that we really, truly do. If you go to the New Testament, Matthew all the way through, the generalized description of New Testament, we see that in Acts chapter 19, he mentions these images from Jupiter that these people were worshiping. You've got images of Baal. You've got images of, we're made in the image of the earthy, and we also will be made in the image of the heavenly, 1 Corinthians. We talk about putting on the new man, renewed after the image of Christ. So what do we have? Do we have on the new Christ? Do we have on another Jesus? Do we have from another gospel, follow another spirit? I mean, what are we doing just today? Romans chapter 11, he's looking, we're not to bow down to the image of Baal. This image keeps showing up in our reading. We go to Revelation chapter 13. Now we're going to start seeing why this image is such an important thing. We look at Revelation 13. And verse 14, we see this. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So we know that it isn't just Antichrist himself personally that they're going to have to worship. He's going to make this image come alive. And it can speak. And it can cause people to be killed if they don't worship that image. Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in the same to drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out, etc., etc. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So, this image is a big thing. Why did God not want images in Old Testament days? Because he's a jealous God. He doesn't want people worshiping these images. And he said, if even things of heaven and things on this earth, he does not want images, period. We live in a time of grace. We live in a dispensation of grace. We have images. We have images of fish. We have images of heavenly things. People have images of Jesus in their billfold and on their walls. And we've come to realize that over the years, if you've heard me preach this up at all, that image of Jesus that was created in 1940, somewhere along that, by Unitarian, that's how Jesus looked. I personally think that is the image of the Antichrist. So when the Antichrist comes around, I think he's going to look just like that image that everybody has pictured of Jesus, and they're going to think that's him. Guys that wear long, squiggly, greasy, slimy hair look a lot like that this guy created of what Jesus looks like. It's just a rebellion. It's a demonic thing. Revelation 16, verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. We're talking about angels. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and on them which worshipped his image. Oh, I just thought of a verse I was going to look up to see if I can find that thing. I think I can here pretty quickly here. I don't know if I'll try to find as I swivel through this stuff here a little bit here. Okay, so we, Revelation 15, verse 2. We see where it says, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass. So that's quite a victory to have. So during the tribulation, people are going to have a victory over this image. And I'm saying today that we as Christians need to have a victory over images. Why is that such a big thing? I thought nothing was in itself wrong. Well, it's not. I'm sorry, I'm looking for a verse here. I just hope I can find that thing here. And I'm not. I hope you're not falling asleep out there as I'm looking here. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Some of you might know where it's at, but I don't want to say it now because I kind of give it away. But anyway... So there's a direction that we're going to be led to images. We're going to be led to an image. So when the tribulation comes, everybody's ready to worship an image. They've already accepted images as something that's real. And we're looking tonight at movies, videos, DVDs. Is it a big deal? I've noticed in the last, just my observations, is that Christians are telling people over and over that they're watching movies that it wasn't a couple years ago they ever would have watched. That's one fact, one point. I notice that many of the movies, most of the movies, if not all the movies nowadays that are coming out, are very wicked, very demonic, not just another video. So there are those Christians that say, I'm going to go back, I'm going to watch the old ones. I'm going to go back to the 70s and the 60s, which to me doesn't seem old, but it is, because it just is to the young people today. And so they watch those, and they think they're watching something clean. Not realizing, of course, that some of the old folks that go back, and now we look at those early videos and early movies, we see the subtleties that were placed in there that we now live worse than those things that were at the time were being taught. We see that you look into videos, you do some studies, go out, look up the word subliminal. And go Google whatever they call that, the word subliminal. And look up movies. And I didn't write them all down. There were just so many of them everywhere. And they advertise it now. I think I got a couple now, so try to find them as I scrabble through my little mess here. But there's subliminal messages that are being taught to us in these images, in these movies. So how is it that God would say that an image, a statue, or picture, or whatever an image of something is, could put you into a snare? Could corrupt you? Well, lots of ways today. Look at the strings of the liberty that we have as a Christian. Okay, it has to edify. Okay, what is being edified in these movies today? Well, in a worldly movie as such, the world is being edified. Philosophy, Colossians 2:8. Take heed that we don't fall into the philosophy and traditions of men. Those things are being taught through a movie. Edifying there is edifying this teaching of the world. Well, let's pull up these Christian movies. What's being edified? Are they expedient? No, they're not expedient, but not the right thing, because what they're putting forth is putting forth a gospel message that power and prayer, if you do right, you live your right, God will bless you. If you're doing something wrong, God will not bless you. You can live out in the wilderness somewhere. You better live according to God's commandments and do everything just right to please God, or the bears will come and they'll eat up your food and that kind of a thing. And I mean, there's all sorts of things that are being taught in these movies, in these Christian movies as such, that is a false gospel. So it does not edify at all. What about an occasion for the flesh, even the beautiful stuff? You know, we can escape. We can escape in our fleshly bodies. We can escape to this other world and ignore reality. Is that a wrong thing? What about the power? It has a power over you. Well, I know so many people that are addicted to videos, addicted to DVDs. I know people, and they come home from work, they just got to put one on. I know that the people, they cannot eat dinner, they cannot eat lunch together without the video. Now, when I was a kid, I was brought up by a TV. I had a TV tray as part of my clothing. I would eat in front of the TV. I would study in front of the TV. I would sleep in front of the TV. I would do all that sort of a thing. I was addicted to it. Which is why it means more to me today than probably some people haven't admitted it, or maybe it never was to you. The day I ran home, we got a TV. I can remember that day, and I watched Superman for the first thing, and I never took my eyes off that TV ever, years and years and years and years. It became a snare. I was taught things through the television. Is it wrong to be taught through images? No. I show videos and DVDs at school. I teach things about music to DVDs. I teach the life of Sousa. DVD, you can't go back to the 1800s and early 1900s, so they can be done right. But can it cause somebody to stumble? Well, sure it can. Your grandkids, your nieces and nephews, your neighbors. Somebody sees you watching a video and they're trying to get away from it in their life, you can cause them to stumble. You want to be that Christian and you dress right, talk right, eat right, and the whole thing, and yet you watch worldly movies. That's not a good testimony. Well, why? What's wrong with these worldly? Well, I'll show you a couple things here in a flash here. Maybe you want to just come home and you want to do you've had a hard day at work. And your mind is tired. You're stressed. You put on a good movie. I don't know. Is there such thing as a good movie? I suppose. Documentary. Show your kids some documentaries about little chicks and all that stuff. And before you know, you're going to have to explain to your kids about evolution. It's not true. So do you turn it off because it's going to show evolution, or can you teach them? Well, that's your choice. You can teach them about that's not true, and they can see some things they normally wouldn't see. Is that okay today? You can get into a movie, and it shows reality. It's got the swearing and the cursing and the family fights and the arguments, the women working, the men being nothing, and they got all their little soap opera lifestyle and the whole thing, and it's reality. Why do people want to pay so much money to go watch what goes on every day in their life? We have a huge waste of time with videos. Redeem the time, Paul says. Now, here we go. Now you're going to start getting preaching, pious, all that stuff. It's not possible. I mean, sure, it's possible to co-opt in these things, but is it practical? Come on, everybody does it. Is it permissible to stay away from videos? They don't want you to. You can make a stand as a Christian, and somebody's going to invite you over, and they're going to pop a video in front of you, and they can say, let's watch this tonight. Well, I didn't come over to spend time with you so we could sit and watch this video. Came over to see you, talk to you. Let's do some things together. Let's just sit down. Is it wrong? Well, I know back in the golden days, people used to sit around the radio. They'd sit around that radio and they'd listen to these programs. Entertainment. Okay, it's fine. That's something to do together, I suppose, if that's the way you want it to be. And that's okay. Bowl of popcorn and, like I say, a bunch of chocolate and a bucket of butter with your popcorn and some of your butter. That's what we do. That's what we've been trained to do. Is it wrong? What does God say about images? It doesn't matter what God says about images, because now with all those rules and laws have been nailed to the cross. Yeah, but when he worried about it, they caused people to be caught up in a snare. They would corrupt them. Can that still happen today? As a Christian. Causing somebody some fool of this thing. Okay, so you've got a control on the videos and the pictures and TV and stuff, and yet your little kids or your nephews or whatever, or your whatever, doesn't. I know what my observations are, that kids today cannot read very well. They have to be entertained. They have to visualize something. We've become a very picture-oriented system of children. They're learning through pictures all the time. And again, I'll go back to me. I learned my stuff with pictures. I'm from that generation. So are you, most of you. You do a study on subliminal things and subliminal teachings in movies today, you find out that it's terrible things we've been taught. How can people suddenly believe in all the perversions that are okay today, and they never went to any school, they never went to any classes, and now they somehow believe against these perverted things? They're subliminally taught. And back at Tushy, I used to talk about subliminal pictures. You look in these pictures and the advertisements, and they happen today. You can see in magazine pictures, but if it's not an actual photograph of food, it's an artistic drawing of a food item, I'll guarantee you that there's probably something in there that's got the word sex or violence or pictures of parts or whatever that's in those pictures. It's an amazing thing that's going on in there. Gail Ripplinger, before she was saved, studied that stuff and would learn how to do advertising and learn how to do the subliminal stuff. And then she quit. And it's happening all the time. They're so blatant about it today that they advertise it. They talk about it. Disney admitted that in those cartoons all of our children have seen, that there's dirty pictures in those movies. There's words in those movies. You look at pictures, you look at different things, and there's probably three items in that picture, in your magazine article. Well, those three items are going to have an S and an E and an S, and there's some X in there somewhere. It's an amazing thing. I can't portray it good enough in the sermon. I don't have the examples. If I had examples, they'd be too dirty to show you and tell you anyway. But they exist. Do some research. Find out for yourself. In these movies that we watch, we are being taught something. Our children are being taught something without you knowing it, because you sit down and you let them watch these videos. They know children that are addicted to movie watching. They were rewarded so much by by videos that now they have to have a video instead of schooling. It's just, it's very sad to see what's going on. Why are you so bothered by this? Well, it's hard to tell you, but I recognized something in the paper the other day that just showed me again that this is really serious. In these movies, we have actors, okay? We have people. You know the old glamour thing of Hollywood back in the 30s and the 40s and 50s when TV first came out and movie stars were heroes, all this kind of stuff. Then we find out later how worthless and wicked they were in their private life, but at least they kept their private life silent. Today, I mean, I was shocked a couple of years ago when I heard somebody, a little person, talking about Robin Williams. Their parents were showing them this series of movies that Robin Williams is hilarious. How he does all his little actions, all that kind of stuff. Robin Williams is a blasphemer. Robin Williams hates God, hates the teachings of God, hates Christians, hates Christianity. So there's our person, our little person, thinking this guy is a hero to that little person, and this guy hates God. Go through all the movie stars. Go through the characters they portray in the movies, in these images that we watch. These are just moving images. And the character is not a hero kind of a character. If it's a Christian, you know you can just about guarantee, you know it's not going to be a Paul-following Christian, it's a gospel-following Christian. Or an Old Testament, or a Revelation. I mean, the actors, the people, the music that are in these moving images is horrible. But nobody knows anything about music. They don't know about the Shem, Ham, and Japheth history of music and where we're at today. They don't understand the big picture of music. They don't realize that the offbeat does something to them physically. They don't realize that there's even subliminal messages in the words of the music. They don't realize that the language of music is controlling them and teaching them and putting them into a snare. It's appealing to the flesh. You don't find these fancy movies nowadays without music. They have music in there. That music makes you think of something. If I hear certain songs from my college years, if I hear those songs today, I can instantly smell my dorm, my room in college. Not just because it stunk, but because I had certain aromas I had, and it just all comes back to me, the power that's in that music. These videos are fantasy. These movies are fantasy today. Well, we had horror movies when we were kids. Yeah, but the horror movies in the earlier days, compared to today, weren't as demonic, as devilish as they are today. Look at the special effects that are going on in these movies. They're fantastic. I don't understand why anybody will see somebody, kung fu kind of people, and they put their foot out in front of them, and they can somehow jump from the floor here up to the balcony. Come on. That's just stupid. Is it just cartoony kind of stuff? Ha, ha, ha. Well, it is, but you know, we've got kids that they think that that's what they can do. You know, there's people that have killed themselves. You know, there's people that think they can do this, and they've died doing them and all that stuff. The special effects are power. They're tremendous. They're amazing. It's like you're there. 3D now is coming out. Pretty soon they're going to have holograms, I think they call them. It's going to seem like they're there. They're going to be able to present. They can already do that. They can present an image in your house, in your room, in the sky that everybody in the world can see. They've already talked about this. Four places in this world, the four corners of the earth, the Bible calls it, they can put an image in the sky that everybody will see that image at one time. Well, where are we going with this? Come on, I don't think it takes much of a Christian to realize where this is going. Special effects. You ever try to teach little kids talking? Teach them something? You stand there and you teach them something? When they've been watching special effects and these images all their life, all their little years of life, and life is boring to these people, to these kids, to adults today. Because we've been image trained. Remember what God said about these images? Not to make them. They're going to corrupt you. They're going to put you into a snare. They're going to control you. Look at the themes of the movies. You've got... as far as Christian movies, you've got Bible fantasy. You've got things that are biblical, but they're still in a fantasy format. We'll talk about that in a minute. You've got false gospel being taught. It's just, I call it the Santa Claus effect. You know, you don't want to teach your children that Santa Claus is a fake because when they get old enough, they're going to think that you, and you finally, and they don't want you to teach that Santa Claus is real. You're going to find out that he's a fake. Well, when they're older, you teach them that Jesus Christ is real, and then they find out that the way you taught Jesus Christ is real, he's never been there for them, so he's a fake. Well, these kids are going to watch these movies and these biblical themes that are going on in movies and these special effects, and they're going to see this gospel being taught in these movies, and they're going to find out that it doesn't work in their life, and so it's a fake. It's called the Santa Claus effect. Or Santa Claus concept, whatever. So why are you bothered by this? Because I continue to see more and more Christians who ought to know better. Either they learned Paul or they've gotten away from Paul's teachings. They used to be Bible believers or whatever it is. And now, somehow, they're just yakking about movies. Have you seen this movie? Have you gone to this movie? Come on over and watch this movie. See, we can have movies in our house now. I know of a man. I know of a young man who got very discouraged. He was disgruntled, whatever the word would be. He stumbled over this thing. A pastor would preach that movies are wrong. And then he would go after church. They would go to Blockbuster and they would get a video to bring it home. See, movies and a video are different. They're not different. One's in a movie house, one's in your home. Is it okay to show this stuff in the privacy of your home? Sure, this is America. Show what you want. But what are you doing when you do that? What's the movie that you're watching? What are you doing to your children? Are they finding out that they're being addicted to the movies? TV's not a problem today. Nobody watches TV. They have videos all over the place. So, why the grief? Why the grump about this whole thing? Well, let me just point out a couple of movies that's going on here, and I'll finish up with an article I read in the paper that just showed me how close we are to the tribulation. Romans chapter 11, verse 22, the goodness of God. Nobody's interested in the goodness of God anymore. They want to do what they want to do. And Christianity, there seems to be this huge sudden influx of, let's watch these videos. Come over, let's watch these videos. If you don't sit down and watch this video with me, you're not part of the family. If you don't, every time we sit down, we got to eat. We got to sit in front of these movies. I mean, there's something going on here. It isn't just entertainment. The devil who wants people to worship him, he's got to upgrade and bring in this thing because his image is going to be worshipped. So images have to be important. Well, you're not going to worship the Antichrist. You're saved. You're not going to be here for the tribulation. Yeah, but what's going on with our children? What are you teaching your children with this constant video image that in the Old Testament God hated and he allows today because all things are lawful, but it's not expedient? No, it's not expedient to get caught up in that stuff. No, it doesn't edify. It teaches you lies. It teaches you a false gospel. Yes, it does control your power of you because I know people that don't watch videos hardly at all. They get a vitamin because they have to, and they still have that desire to watch one. An occasion for the flesh. The movies, the music, the characters, the visualities, what they wear, how they dress, the powerful women that are becoming the heroes, men who are worthless, dumb little space guys that don't even know how to work their control panel without Captain Betty there showing you how to do it and being the strong one. We're being changed. We're being corrupted. We're being evil communication. It's corrupting our children. It's corrupting. We don't even know. Subliminal things that are in these movies that I don't believe it. Well, fine. But the movie makers themselves advertise. Hannah from Siley Myers or Miley Cyrus or whatever. Who was that person? I think he got it. Miley Cyrus. Isn't that Hannah Montana? And she's famous because of the subliminal messages that are in the Hannah Montana movies. There's those little girls, those kids are being taught something that parents don't know they're being taught. They advertise that. Just type in Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, subliminal. Find out what's being taught to your children. You won't like it. What do we got here? I just kind of scribbled dozen things here. Hannah Montana, that was one of them. And here's a movie. It's called Proposal. That's a hit with Christians. All you got to do is read Facebook, and you can see what the people are telling you. I watch this. Come over and watch this. I'm watching a movie tonight, and all this kind of stuff. I'm not against that so much, but I'll tell you, you're not redeeming your time. You're watching something that's going to subliminally change you. Your kids are going to get hooked into this thing. You're getting caught up with images. You're teaching images, moving images. It just goes on and on and on. When's the last time you read your Bible? Well, it's been a while. When's the last time you watched a movie? Just this morning. What did you do over dinner? We watched a movie. Ask the kids at school, what's your favorite movie? They got a bunch of them. Oh, it's just a huge thing today. And we know that. Proposal here. Let's see. For 3 years, this guy as an assistant to Margaret. So here's the boss woman thing here. Hard-driving editor, the hard-driving woman. Faces deportation. She has to marry this. He tries to get this hatches scheme to marry Andrew. He agrees if she promised a promotion because of some reason they had to do this marriage thing. And I mean, it's just reality garbage plot here. What is a Christian doing watching this kind of stuff? She blackmails Andrew, agreed to marry her in turn. He would be promoted to editor. She would publish his book. The skeptical clerk of the immigration department schedules interview. And I guess this is kind of a dull one. I've read where people said, hey, you need to watch The Proposal. It's a marvelous movie. It's not a marvelous movie. It doesn't edify the truth. It doesn't. You're getting caught in videos. There's a power over you. You can cause somebody to watch you watching stuff all the time. They're going to get into it. And remember, this whole image thing is growing towards a purpose here. There's an objective. There's a goal, an objective. There's a goal for all this movie stuff that's going on. Fireproof, I think it's called. I can't, a fireproof, I read so many people say it's such a marvelous movie. No, it's not a marvelous movie. I haven't even watched these movies. I just read the synopsis. I read the trailers about them. Christians aren't supposed to be watching these things. And that's even labeled as a Christian. Yeah, it's a gospel Christian movie. It's about a lady who works and a man who doesn't work as much. He's a fireman, but that's no big thing, you know. And they need the extra income. They talk about this. The music is terrible. It's rock music. It's terrible. It's the man's fault for all the issues that he plays. It's always the man's fault. They seek biblical counseling, which is not good. There's a psychology, learn how to treat that woman, and it's just ridiculous stuff. It is not scriptural. It is not biblical. Well, it's just entertainment. No, it's teaching you something. I don't remember the name of this thing. I typed up the synopsis, but I forgot the name of it. It's Goons or Coons or whatever's coming up soon here. Plot summary. Surviving in a volcanic world is tough enough, but Caveman Grug, everybody thinks this guy's marvelous. These Hollywood guys are such heroes that they're getting political comments and the whole thing. Nicholas Cage, I think it is. Everybody just loves this guy, you know. And this caveman Grug gets a rude awakening when an earthquake forces him to leave behind the only world he knows. With his family in tow, he ventures out into the volatile world in search of them. The situation becomes even more complicated when Grug's family, particularly his eldest daughter, becomes smitten with a nomad they encounter on their dangerous journey. So they're having relationships with animal creatures and weird humans. And it's just crazy. See, and the verse I was looking for was in Daniel somewhere, where these people, there's going to be people that have the long hair, where's that at in there? Creature kind of a thing. So we're being numbed to this stuff. Here's a movie. It's Avatar. This is great. Everybody has to see it. Oh, I just got to see Avatar. You can't wait to see Avatar. The special effects are great. Yeah, the special effects are great, and they're numbing you to the science fantasy, to the biblical fantasy. The language is terrible. It's about powerful women. It's got a weird concept of love. They create life in this thing. They got human animal peoples combined into one. It's just ridiculous. And everybody just has to see this stuff. Well, I'm just going to be entertained. I'm not going to worship this stuff. Well, you do, but, you know, some of you do, and I'm not going to talk about that. You think you can watch that thing safely? No, you can't. You can't. Let me read you some things, though. That'll be done here. I forgot what time it is. Let me read you something here. They got me all sparked about this stuff here. Came out this kind of the next day that I was looking at this stuff. This is called Spiritual Oscars. And they've got a picture on here of some of the people in Avatar, and they're Indians. Okay, they look like an Indian, but of course they have their ears someplace else on their head. You know, some of you folks remember, who we got out there? Yeah, some of you folks back in Tush, remember when I put my telephone on the top of my head? And we loved that forever. That's where the ears are for these creatures in Avatar. I just noticed that, you know. And these are demonic-looking Indians. And one of the quotes in the movie, where's it at here? They talk about, this is our land, because the synopsis to this thing, I guess, these guys go to their country, some other planet or whatever, and they invade their planet, and they're going to bring their people in, and they're going to take it away from these people. It just happens to be that they look like Indians. And they say things like, this is our land. What are you doing coming into our land? There's some subliminal stuff there going on. But, you know, whatever. But here, I'm sorry, I just have to kind of read the article. It's really well written. It's called Spiritual Oscars. Many movie themes feature faith. Oh, well, that's good. They feature faith. How exciting. This one says, this year's crop of Best Picture nominees for the first time of 10 are widely perceived in religious communities to contain significant lessons about faith. Avatar is a Christian movie. Avatar, you have to have faith to make it through the movie Avatar. They have faith in the movie Avatar. Are we going to start to see the seriousness of the fact that Christianity today, you have to have the faith of Christ. It isn't your faith. If it was your faith that you're going to do on, you would follow into these things and you would try to be the faith person that these people are going to be. I mean, you got to have faith to get a victory over these Avatarians, I suppose. I don't know how the movie's supposed to go. It's demonic looking. Here we go. Films such as Avatar, The Hurt Locker, Up, The Blind Side all contain spiritual messages that resonate with audiences, even when moviegoers realize it. Subliminal stuff. Now, I may have lost you on this image stuff. I may have lost you with my personal opinion, you're probably thinking. But listen to this article, and you'll see where this is headed, and why movies are so dangerous, video dangerous, DVDs are so dangerous to our young kids, because we're bringing in images, and we're falling for this thing, something fierce, and Christians ought to know better. Here we go. All contain spiritual messages that resonate with audiences, even when moviegoers may not realize it, the pastors agree. Movies are powerful vehicles to show the ability to save. What happened to the Word of God? See what we're done? We get rid of the Word of God, we can turn to images now. Movies are powerful vehicles to show the ability to save, to redeem, and to heal the spiritually broken, says the Reverend such and other at the pastor at the such and such church in Rapid City. The power of the story does the work of good theology, he said. Sometimes movies preach better than we do. From a pastor such and such who's a longtime movie fan who has seen several of his year's nominated films and doesn't hesitate to incorporate movies into his ministry. You know, you can get Andy Griffith and Barney Fife. There's a Bible study series for your churches, for your youth group, based on all the teachings of Barney Fife. We did it one night back early in Tush. I did it one night. And we showed the good message that was brought to this thing about Sunday being a holy day. It's just... here's one. I love movies, Pastor such admits. Last year, he especially loved Avatar, the special effects extravaganza that has been described as dances with wolves on another planet. Avatar, of all the movies, has so much religious activity in it, he said. So many faith pieces to it. Now, I hope I'm not making you interested in going to these things. Well, I got to see that. I can't wait to see that. Somebody's going to get the DVD. Somebody's going to invite you to watch Avatar or Up or The Hurt Locker or The Blind Side. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and don't participate. Is it possible? Yes, you have the possibility. You have the power. You have the ability to stay away from this stuff. Is it practical? No way. Is it permissible? No way. They're not going to let you be that kind of a Christian. They're going to pop those videos and DVDs in front of you, and they're going to expect you to do it, and they're going to try to get you to compromise. They're going to try to get a little bit of it. You still in front of a video of these criminals. You know what that is? That's a compromise. Well, you have to do that. I know that. I understand that. And I'm not trying to be the jerk guy here that says, well, man, this guy wants everything. I'm just telling you, listen to how dangerous these movies are today. Keep going here. Avatar has so much religious activity in Avatar that makes it okay for Christians? I guess it does for today's Christian because they're based everything on their faith. And, you know, God doesn't stop them. And the kids pay attention. They're much more excited about church. Movie night. I've done movie night. We watch Sheffy. And Sheffy, I realize now, taught forth power of prayer, and it taught forth a false gospel. There's a lot of good things in Sheffy, a lot of good quotes about the Bible, how they're getting away from the Bible, gave it up bit by bit, and a lot of good things in there. But if we teach people that the way Sheffy was done, it's a false gospel. So I'm just wrong about Paul. I guess there's all that possibility. Here we go. He liked it so much, this avatar, the pastor. He's seen it three times and chose to see it. I could watch it again because it has so many things in it that would be valuable to see regarding our faith. So here's another guy who criticized these movies because it promotes pantheism and worship instead of the traditional Christianity. Well, I'm glad about that. Somebody sees something there. But also sends a universal spiritual message about respect for the environment and seeing God in nature. Oh, so it kind of counteracts that. The Reverend such and such, pastor of such and place, loved the movie as an artistic and technological triumph, despite some objections to its underlying theological messages. Okay, here's a guy that knew the movie was wrong. It's not teaching a true statement. It's not edifying. It's not expedient. It could cause people to stumble, and yet he says it's still a good movie. That's a compromise. He says here that Pandora, the world of Navi, whatever, is the Garden of Eden filtered through some of our favorite contemporary myths, evolutionism, feminism, and gayism. Those are contemporary myths. And because these movies portray that, it's entertaining. No, it's not entertaining. It's damaging. It's dangerous. The music is flesh. The characters are human animals. They have to do something together to come up with one another. You got to go out there and go on a date, or however you want to call this thing, with an animal and do what people do nowadays on dates to come up with this human animal. That's wicked. What are we doing allowing ourselves entertained by those things in the name of faith? Christians? Come on, where's your status? Well, it's possible, but it's not practical, and it's not permissible to take a stand against this stuff. Tell that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They took their stand. He's got pretty hot, though, for them. He said the movie's popularity, Avatar, is related to the innate longing that people have for heaven and a relationship with their creator. The Blind Side movie, with its much more obvious take on the religious message, to care for the poor and vulnerable, resonate with the recession. It really spoke to me. The movie really spoke to him. The film's message is about putting your faith into action. Right. James, I'm sure. You know, that kind of a thing. She's wealthy, but in the midst of having it all, she cares about others. She lives a gospel message that we're to take care of other people, that we put ourselves out for the poor. That's a good message, but it's not a gospel message. Paul tells us to help the poor, but it's still a religious movie. A wealthy white woman from Mississippi welcomes a poor black teenager into her family. District 9. This pastor recommends District 9 with all its gruesome violence. There is so much blood in that movie, he says, but its message, both political and spiritual, is important. Oh, okay, so I guess that's okay. District 9 asks, I bet you some of you folks are going to get it. Oh, I haven't seen that one. Probably just getting an interest going here. District 9 asks questions about welcoming the alien among us. The aliens become more human, more spiritual than the human beings who have become so inhumane. It raises questions like, how Christian are you, really? Okay, so these aliens have a better faith than you have? Is that how you're going to teach your kids? But aliens? Oh, what's so important about aliens? Well, you know, somebody's got to come out of the sky here one of these days. Says that he's the Christ. Images, worshiping images here. Holograms, I think they call them holograms, in the skies. I would imagine pretty soon we're going to be able to, I'm going to be able to get a piece of equipment that will take a picture of me different, and you can have me standing in your living room preaching to you a sermon, and you won't have to feed me. It's an image. And it'll be exciting. It'll be fun because, oh, it's cute. This is exciting. We have our own private special effects. Yeah, you see where this is headed. Christians ought to know better. This is taking people to the tribulation. This is getting people ready for an image, and they're going to be space modern creatures coming out of the sky. You whole thing. And we're just being blindly entertained by it. Don't have enough guts to say, no, I'm not going to get into this stuff. No, kids can't watch it. It's not practical to be that way because your kids will lose their friends and they get mad at you for being that way. It's not even permissible. Somebody else will invite your kids over to their house and they'll show them this stuff. So they can't let your kids go to somebody else's house. It's not practical. You're right. It isn't practical. Keep going here. It also brought to mind this movie District 9, you know, the violence and the aliens who are more spiritual than the regular beings. Nothing more important than an alien coming from somewhere out there that's got more spirituality and faith than you have, so you can follow this alien. Do you not, am I not making myself clear, because I'm sure I'm not here. Do we see what's going on? Now listen to this. This movie, this also brought to mind theological questions about humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ. Jesus was fully human and fully divine. Oh, okay, so these creatures can be human and alien. So Jesus must have been an alien because he was God manifest in the flesh, so he's just like an alien. You see what the devil's doing here? This is wicked stuff. And Christians are sitting there just drooling, thinking this is great. And they show their kids all this stuff. And you know what? I know some parents who make their kids this stuff. It's not practical to be against it. And they don't permit you to be against it. But it's possible. He says that this movie has a marking quality to it, referring to the Gospel of Mark. The animated movie Up is also an emotionally moving movie with great spiritual messages about life, the pastor says. It's a fun movie that had lots of deeper pieces to it than folks would imagine. Oh, then he says, this other pastor hasn't seen many of the nominated films, but he doubts many of them could top The Hurt Locker with its message about the real cost of war. Or Invictus, a movie about the power of forgiveness and love that earned Morgan Freeman a Best Actor, Morgan Freeman a hero, and his role as Nelson Mandela. Now, there's the guy to learn about. Let's have my kids learn all how marvelous Nelson Mandela was with his forgiveness and power that he had to forgive and love people. Oh, this is junk. This is demonic junk. Then we got a guy in a local prison that was complaining because he was not able to worship his Asatru religion, which is a modern revival of historic Germanic and Norse paganism and covers a wide spectrum of beliefs and practices. He refers the term heathenism to paganism, to his belief system, centered on the natural world, to ceremonies, follow the season, such as the up-and-coming spring equinox. He's a Satan worshiper, is all he is. This is funny, though. I guess, in some ways, he says it's native European spiritual beliefs from before Christianity. Before Christianity? We both have gods. We have both God and goddesses. We don't technically worship them. We honor them. His complaint was he had to have a plastic sword to practice this worship of Asatru. A plastic sword? You know, we used to tell people all the time that your NIV and your ASP, it's like a plastic butter knife. I don't know if anybody's ever done that or not, compared to the two-edged sword that the King James Bible is sharper than. Here's a guy of their religion that needs to have a plastic sword. Well, everybody's got plastic swords. Their swords are worthless in their beliefs, the Bibles. And here the guy said, I was a Christian for most of my life. So here's another guy that recognized the folly of modern Christianity, the Gospels, all the power of prayer that's not there. Why would God allow all the questions people come up with? Paul says it's folly, Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and all the description, godliness about the power thereof, and they give up and they quit this stuff, and they get into something satanic. because Satan wants to be worshipped. And then he says this, I just noticed he says, I started reading about it and researching it. It was like the spiritual dam I had inside myself started to break. Why can't people read their Bible and get the truth out of that thing, rightly divide that thing, and see what it is that we have here? The truth. Here's one called New Moon Movie. A man turns into a wolf. Well, this is a werewolf movie, yeah, but this is demonic-looking stuff. This is wicked stuff. Vampire Party. Well, I know there were vampires back in the 40s and 50s, the old scary movies. Ah, these are different. These are so special, affected out of hell, they're just you know, really are something. But not just scary, they're demonic. People used to criticize rock record covers because they look so demonic, these Christian groups. And now, these very Christians are listening to that kind of stuff. And their movies are very demonic looking, and they're watching those kind of movies. And they're making their kids watch them. And if the kid stands up to not watch them, they get in trouble. It's not permissible. It's not practical to take a stand against this one. This one, you're not going to take a stand on. You'll compromise. You know, all the stuff that Tobiah and Sanballat got people to do, try to get people to do. Try to compromise with them. If you don't do it, they'll slander you. They'll give you a hard time. And if you get a victory, they'll keep putting those videos in front of you until you die. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and tell them no. This is where the persecution is going to start coming. This stuff is getting more and more demonic. More and more satanic. Put it that way. Sandra Bullock is everybody's lady hero. Sandra Bullock? We call Baptism of Fire. A children's movie called Baptism of Fire. Another children's movie, How to Train Your Dragon. It's a 10-year-old that has a romantic interlude with his dragon. Come on. What is the matter with Christians today that we don't see this stuff and say no? We're scared. We're chicken. We don't want to make those kind of... It's not practical. And it's not even permissible, so you won't fight it. And I'm not picking anybody tonight at all. I'm just telling you, this is what I'm reading and seeing amongst Christians. It's terrible. But it's just me. I have my personal vendetta against people with videos and DVDs. No, I don't. I've got videos. I've given them to my grandkids. Davy Crock, you know, there's some cute little movies in there. We can't do without movies. Sometimes you have to have a video going or something because you're alone, and it's just, we have our justifications for these things. But I just wanted you to realize and see where this stuff is headed. They're advertising faith in these demonic, satanic-looking movies. Their special effects are attracting people to it. Their images, people are going to be worshiping images. These people in modern Christianity have another Jesus, and they're falling for these movies, and they're going to be willing to worship an image of the beast. Do you see where this is headed? This is amazing. It's amazing stuff. Deal with it. See what you can do with it. Talk to people about it. Talk to yourself about it. They're corrupting our kids. They're putting our kids into a snare. Why a parent would put their kid into a DVD snare, it just irritates me. It's not my problem. Well, I know it's not the increases of God. I know that. But if you're going to get into this stuff and you pay attention, you better be in that Bible because there are subliminal messages that are changing your ways of being. Yes, you have a stance on Christianity. Yes, you do believe something is right. You are following Paul. But you tell you what, you hang around these movies 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you're being fed something that's changing your thinking process. The devil is at work, the God of this world, the prince and power of the air, here. And he's getting Christians to fall and worship him without them knowing it. Don't let that happen to you. Why does Paul say avoid? These movies are teaching not what Paul teaches about the risen Savior. We're to avoid them. You can't fight it. It's not practical. They won't let you. But it's possible. But here's where your persecution starts up. It's tough. It's tough. Don't use grace as the ticket to watch this junk because it's satanic. don't let Hollywood snooker you. Remember The Passion of the Christ. When that movie first came out and I started talking to King James Bible believer, Ruckmanite kind of guys, and they got mad at me for being so hard against The Passion of the Christ. It was teaching the Catholic Christ, the Stations of the Cross. I know a man today to this day that uses that movie. He's a Baptist preacher guy, King James, and he uses that movie in his foreign country to get people in his church. He's using a Catholic movie. What's with that? It portrays, it's not even biblical what it portrays. And the same time he came out, Chick put out a movie, The Light, I think it was called, of the truth of what Jesus did and all that sort of thing. First, it was a false gospel as such, but it's still about Jesus, but it's still images. Our kids, your kids, need to be able to read this Bible and get something out of reading a Bible, not images. I know too many adults, when I hear them read, they're doing good to read it, let alone think about it and have a comprehension of what they're reading. That Bible is not practical today. A Bible-based church is not practical. And it's not permissible. People don't want them. They've got to have movies. They have to have visuals. They have to have a projector. They've got to have the words up on the screen. We're just on visual. We're headed for the tribulation. We're not far from it. Our music appeals to the flesh. The music in those movies gets you scared, and they manipulate you, and they cause effect. They control you. That music is a power that controls you in these movies. What else can I say? How much more can I change my voice about this stuff, as Paul says? It's terrible what's going on. And we just think it's entertainment. Shame on us Christians. Those Christians out there, they're deceived. And their poor children are going to be worshiping an image during the tribulation. They're going to have another Jesus. That Bible's not important. They can't even read that Bible. Why can't you read that Bible? The King James Bible has more single syllables than any Bible out there. I went way too long here tonight, so I guess I'll be quiet. I'm just ranting and raving. This movie thing's got to just be dealt with. Deal with it for your sake and for your children's sake. Yeah, it went way too long. Sorry about that. So, there you go. There's the biggie that's going on in our homes everywhere. DVDs, there you go. I hope you can deal with it. God gets the glory and rewarded, just not today. There you go. Good night.